This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 9:20 in the morning, Thursday, the 22nd of April. And before we get into an interesting ESG call, a quick look at the KLCI, which is still in the lovely shade of green. It's up 0.31% and passing through the important 1600 psychological level. It's now 1601. In terms of the top value stocks, pretty much the same names that I mentioned earlier. But like I say, today is Earth Day, and as a result, we are looking at ESG investing because it has become a much bigger topic over the last few years, with questions being raised about ESG frameworks, practices, and practices of listed companies.
Along with the rise in ESG awareness, investments in ESG funds have also picked up in recent years. Now, Deloitte estimated last year that there could be over 200 new ESG funds set up between 2020 and 2023, more than doubling the activity seen in the previous 3 years.
So like we say, in conjunction with Earth Day, we speak to Anand Panakanan, who is the head of regional equity research at Maybank Kim Eng, to get a better understanding of ESG investing here in Malaysia. Good morning, Anand. Now, the past decade, like we say, has seen rapid growth in sustainable or ESG investing. How does Malaysia measure up with regards to this in terms of our investing options and standards?
I think, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the growth in ESG assets under management has been dramatic over the last decade, far outpacing, you know, conventional AUM. And if you look at the share of sustainable investing assets under management, it has been steadily increasing pretty much across the world. Perhaps not so obvious in ASEAN as yet, but you know, it is going to happen as well. I think when you look at Malaysia in particular, it's a mixed story. But to be fair, you know, Sharia investing is a form of responsible investing, and that's been very successful in the Malaysia context. I know that's based on faith-based negative screening. But if you look at the broader picture in terms of ESG integration in a holistic manner into investment analysis and portfolio construction, I think the domestic fund managers and Malaysia as a whole is starting from a relatively low base. And you know, there's a lot of room, I guess, for knowledge sharing and improvement.
Does one sacrifice returns when you invest in ESG?
Yeah, so that used to be the belief. I think before the previous decade, a lot of fund managers were quite hesitant to incorporate ESG into their investment process, primarily because the argument was, we are fiduciaries. We are meant to act in the best interest of our clients, and that is a financial interest. And we don't see the benefits of incorporating ESG. But that view has dramatically changed over the last decade, because there's so much more evidence and proof that ESG investing matters, not just in terms of avoiding risks, but also in terms of improving overall returns from the portfolio, from seizing transition opportunities as well. So I think it's now widely recognized by pretty much all regulators in the world that ESG investing or ESG considerations or factors should be part of any asset manager's fiduciary duty. And so, you know, that will be incorporated within their mandates going forward. So acknowledging that ESG matters when it comes to long-term value creation.
But beyond that, Anand, I mean, what are some of the key challenges that Malaysia faces when it comes to ESG? And if I'm a fund manager, for example, is the universe large enough?
Yeah, so Malaysia, well, okay, let's talk about the market first, I guess, because the economy itself generally does face a lot of sustainability issues, which I can get into later. But capital markets themselves, starting point, I guess, for many Malaysian funds would be, do we have an ESG index? And the fact is we do. It's called the FTSE4Good Index, which Bursa has had in place for about eight years now. And the issue with that index is, 23 of the KLCI's 30 stocks are in that index. So if you look at the correlation of the FTSE4Good with the KLCI, it is almost a perfect correlation, which, doesn't really help the ESG cause in Malaysia, because fund managers will just say, what's the point? There's no differential if I invest in so-called ESG stocks versus the KLCI. But I think, that's definitely changing. And I think fund managers in Malaysia are more aware that if they take a bottom-up approach to the companies here, especially in light of the recent headlines with the plantation stocks, as well as the rubber glove stocks, in terms of labor issues and previously environmental issues for plantation stocks as well. they are realizing that it does matter for their portfolio performance.
What's your assessment then of our regulators in pushing the ESG agenda, and what more can they do?
Yeah, so we wrote a report on this recently, our ESG compendium. I think, we said the report card was mixed in terms of the various stakeholders in Malaysia. We feel the government can do a lot more in terms of, being more transparent on the need for carbon taxes potentially in the future. Also, our EV agenda is still lagging a lot of our ASEAN peers. But when it comes to regulators, there is a lot of good news there. You know, our major regulators, Bank Negara, Securities Commission, Bursa Malaysia, they are all forging ahead of, sustainability initiatives. So just to give you an example, Bank Negara has asked banks to be very transparent in terms of their climate risk. And these are not small risks. You know, if you look at the data, about 10 to 12% of bank loan books are susceptible to climate risk in one form or the other. The Securities Commission has been pushing ahead with their sustainability roadmap, and that requires, a lot of incentives and push for green financing, which is integral to our transition to a low-carbon economy. And Bursa Malaysia itself, has been pushing corporates to be much more, aggressive on their disclosures on material ESG issues, which is vital for ESG investing in any market. So they're all playing their part, I think. So I'm pretty happy with what the regulators are doing.
And of course, the trillion-dollar question, Anand, what are your top ESG buys in Malaysia then?
Well, okay, so do some context. We cover about 110 stocks in Maybank Kim Eng. What our analysts have been doing is they've been writing ESG tear sheets on the stocks since the middle of last year. This really lays out the E, S, and G issues for each company, as well as how it relates to the business model, which is crucial. You know, ESG is not an end in itself. It's meant to tie into the business model and give you a view on ultimate long-term returns on that company. So we have done about 61 tear sheets. And from that 61 tear sheets, we've picked out 16 stocks, which we think are eligible for our maiden ESG portfolio. And some of the names, I know you're going to ask me for the names, so I'll just give it to you.
Yes, we need the names, Anand.
Just send you the report. So Burma's, it's for a very diverse a bunch of sectors. So no particular sector concentration. So stocks like Burma's, Inari, Hartalega, Bursa Malaysia, MISC, also some sort of more neutral rated stocks like Westports, VS Industries, DG, and Suntec REIT for their green building push. Those are the kind of stocks that populate our ESG portfolio.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Anand Padmakaranan, the head of regional equity research, and Maybank Kim Eng giving us the lowdown on ESG investing and ending that very interesting conversation with his top buys, which is critical. But the point is that ESG investing doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice any returns.
Absolutely. As you said, it's actually part of the transition to the new economy. So you can't run away from it, because it is going to shape the size of the future economy. And if we're talking about future potential, that's where it is.
Exactly. But that's all the corporate news we have for you this morning. Up next, of course, we have Ringgit and Cents. And as the tax season comes to an end, Roshan Karnison takes a forward look and dives into the ways that you can optimize your taxes to pay the right amount, not too much and definitely not too little. And that's going to be happening after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.